Welcome, welcome, dear friends, again to St. Patrick's Parish podcast. And we're at the midway point of Lent. It's the fourth Sunday of Lent and year B is the cycle. So the readings are Chronicles, second book of Chronicles, chapter 36, verses 14 to 16 and 18 to 23. Psalm 136, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. And the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, that's the traditional title for this Sunday. We're, as I said, just over the halfway point of Lent. And 3 weeks from Sunday is, of course, Easter Sunday. Now, it's almost as if the church is saying, Rejoice, not long now. Soon you'll be able to have that bar of chocolate or that glass of wine again. But it's deeper than that, isn't it? Do you know that right now, all over the world, in every country where the faith is present, there are thousands of men and women, even maybe about 20 in our own diocese, who are looking forward to the greatest night of their lives? No, they're not going to a Taylor Swift concert or to the Oscars. Or to the All-Ireland final. On Holy Saturday night, this year, March the 30th, one of the earliest dates it can be, they will be baptised and confirmed and Eucharisted into the Catholic Church. And everything in their lives has been leading to this night. Even their darker moments have led them to the light. Now, the Lenten readings on Sundays are particularly for these catechumens, that's what we call people preparing for baptism. But they're also for us, to help us who have been born into the faith, to help us shake off our heaviness, our sadness, our lack of enthusiasm. Help us to reclaim our baptism and become again bright-eyed and looking forward to the great night of Easter. Now, if you listen carefully to the readings, and particularly that first reading from the second book of Chronicles, you might think the author had just watched the latest news on the television. Infidelity, shameful practices, ridiculed the messengers of God, despised his words, laughed at his prophets, their enemies burned down the temple of God. These are just some of the phrases and words we read or heard. The behaviour of God's people, which led eventually to the Babylonian captivity and their exile from the land for 70 years, was not good. Should we be surprised? Is it a description only of a past world, or an all too familiar account of the world in which we live? Just ask the people of the Ukraine or Gaza or parts of Africa. They know the reality. That Babylonian captivity was a period of 70 years when God's people were exiled from their own land. They felt strangers far from home. And even the psalm that the church gave us today was written to express their feelings. By the waters of Babylon, we sat and wept. Oh, how could we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And yet sometimes we who try to follow the Lord Jesus find ourselves aliens in a strange land. Wasn't it ironic that the people of the Republic were voting on Friday, International Women's Day, on whether to remove the word mother from the Constitution so that it would be more PC? Thank God the vote for that was defeated, and heavily too. Was it not sad that the French voted this week to enshrine abortion in their constitution with roars and cheers similar, sadly, to those of the Irish when the right to life of the unborn was removed and celebrated in May 2018? But let's get back to that word, rejoice. For despite the sad news of Chronicles, news that is echoed over and over again in our own time, the word of God in the Gospel and the second reading is a word for rejoicing, not being weighed down by the trials of life. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, God loved us with so much love that he was generous with his mercy. When John Paul II became Pope way back in 1978, he chose to write his first three encyclicals on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. His second was actually on the Father, and he called it Dives in Misericordia, Rich in Mercy, the very title obviously taken from this powerful letter to the Ephesians. Our Gospel too contains words that we might well recognize. Often if we're watching a match on television from Croke Park or even the Super Bowl in America, you might well see someone with a placard and the word John 3:16 inscribed on it. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that whoever believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. That's a verse that I suspect many of you know by heart. And if you don't, I'd encourage you to learn it off. It's the heart of the gospel. Let me tell you another little story about the great St. Augustine, who was a wonderful writer and homilist. Imagine, he said, if all the Bibles in the world were lost except one, and if that one Bible was tossed onto a fire and was all burnt up except for one page, and if a child came along with a crayon, got that one page and covered it with colour until only one line could be read. And if that one line were 1 John 4:8, God is love, then Augustine says you would still have the whole Bible. Isn't that what John and Paul are saying in the readings given us today? Now, I want you to do me a favour. Now, this probably worked better when I was in the church and preaching as I was at the Vigil Mass in St. Patrick's and then in Caliph yesterday. But you can do it too next time maybe you're in the church, or even tomorrow when you get up and go out into the world. Sometimes when I'm leaving the church at the final hymn, I look at people's faces, try to catch an eye, smile at somebody I know, but many people look quite sad. They're not even singing the hymn. There's a sense of, thank God, that's over for another week. So can I invite you, dear friends, to show that God loves you. A dear friend of mine, we entered seminary in the same night, we go on holidays together, Bishop Donald McKeown. He once told me, story against himself, of a car journey he made with a younger cousin, a female cousin. They were travelling along on the road, and suddenly at one point in the journey, she said, Donal, are you happy? Yes, he replied. Well, will you kindly inform your face? It was quite a rebuttal, but he took it on the chin, as it were, and I have known him for almost 50 years, and I know that he certainly lets the Lord's joy shine upon his face and in his life. In the midst of pain and suffering and sin, and there's much of that, despite the Babylonian captivities of every age, God still loves us, you and me. And that's why the church calls this Sunday Laetare Sunday, or Rejoice Sunday.